Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
May 19th is filled with gridiron history as we go to a 1935 NFL meeting that really set a lot of current policies we have today. And we talk about some great Hall of Famers. We'll talk about all these and more coming up next. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with their tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. For today, we are going to go on the May 19th edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, the football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers on May 19th. And we're going to start off with our newspapers.com football history headline of the day, and it comes from the May 20th, 1935 edition of the Pittsburgh Press in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And it says, "You can't say we didn't do plenty." Of course, it is in reference to the May 19th, 1935 meeting in the Steel City of the top brass and owners of the NFL franchises as they laid out some new pivotal rules and policies the league adopted that year. Amongst the items discussed and approved by Commissioner Joe Carr and the boys were a waiver rule where the team with the worst record the season prior would have first dibs at the waived former players by their rival teams. The group also made a decision on the former Cincinnati franchise and gave the rights to the city of St. Louis. Burt Bell, owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, completed the purchase of some players from the Detroit Lions. Halfback Robert Rowe, guard Maurice Bodinger, and tackle Robert Emmerich were now part of coach Lud Ray's Eagles squad. The Eagles also purchased the rights of tackle Carl Jorgensen from the Packers and halfback Bud Witt. The league also promised that they would sponsor programs to better acquaint and associate fans with the NFL. In other news from the meetings, Boston Redskins owner George Marshall and his new coach, Eddie Casey, tried to get Art Rooney of the Pittsburgh Pirates to trade his team captain, Muggsy Scaldani, to the Boston franchise. Marshall's offer of tackle Steve Cinco, fullback Jim Muzik, and an end named Malone were rejected by Rooney and the Pirates as they could not let their beloved star named Muggsy go. The biggest item, though, came out of this meeting was Burt Bell's suggestion for the NFL to adopt an annual college draft to begin in 1936. According to an NFL.com post, Bell proposed that the NFL hold an annual player draft to level the playing field and make sure that every franchise remained financially viable. League's owners voted unanimously to adopt this proposal, setting up the inaugural NFL draft in 1936. This first draft was a far cry from the spectacle of fans have come to expect today. It was held on February 8, 1936 at Philadelphia's Ritz-Carlton Hotel, club selected from a pool of only 90 players, but what it has turned out into now, not even Burt Bell could ever have imagined. If you want to be able to read through some of the old articles like the May 20th, 1935 edition of the Pittsburgh Press, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of the news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more dating back to 1798 all the way to yesterday. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers for your free one-week subscription today. Now that's a lot of information and some big items that came out of that 1935 NFL meeting in the spring day in May 19th, 1935. So that's just some great news we got from the newspaper and newspapers.com. Now let's talk about some birthdays of Hall of Famers. May 19th, 1949, Drew Mississippi. Mississippi quarterback from 1968 to 1970, Archie Manning was born. You've probably heard of Archie's sons, you know, guy named Peyton, a guy named Eli, but the original Manning quarterback was the vine that these two multi-Super Bowl winners got their gusto from. Archie in 1969, according to the footballfoundation.org website, tossed for 436 yards and hoofed out another 104 to lead his Ole Miss team against the powerful Alabama 11. His efforts created an SEC record for total offense of 540 yards. He had 362 yards game against Louisiana State in 1968 and a 341 yard game over Southern Mississippi in 1970. The elder Manning heaped in a bunch of awards for performances like these too. In 1969, he was the Mississippi Sportsman of the Year and the recipient of the Nashville Banner Trophy as the most valuable player in the Southeastern Conference. Archie was fourth in the Heisman voting in 1969 and third in 1970. Archie Manning received the great honor of being selected for inclusion into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989, and he was then drafted in the NFL by the New Orleans Saints, and he spent some time also with the Houston Oilers and the Minnesota Vikings as well before he hung it up after 14 years in the league. Archie Manning, great quarterback, and can you imagine that, setting an SEC record of 540 total yards, 104 on the ground, 436 through the air, and that's against Bear Bryant's Alabama defense. You know, no easy sailing there. That's against one of the best teams going on in that year. May 19th, 1967, Missoula, Montana. John Freeze, the signal caller of the University of Idaho from 1986 through the 1989 season, arrived in the world. The National Football Foundation shares that John, in the summer before his senior season, he attended the Idaho Vandal football camp and was noticed by then head coach Dennis Erickson. "Erickson saw some potential in me," said Freeze. "He was willing to take a chance on me. The 6'4", 214-pound QB never got a chance to play for the future national championship coach Erickson. As the coach left after John's redshirt freshman season for the Miami Hurricanes vacated position, John became the starter as a sophomore, leading the Vandals to the first of three consecutive Big Sky Conference titles. He was named a Division I AA second-team All-American as he threw 28 touchdowns passes. The following year, he became a consensus first team choice as Idaho reached the 1AA semifinals. In his senior year, John became the first quarterback to win the Walter Payton Award as the outstanding player in single 1AA football. And that season, he threw for 4,041 yards and 31 touchdowns. He averaged an outstanding 367.4 yards per game and broke the 300-yard barrier in 10 consecutive games. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed the display in the honor of John Freeze into their legendary museum in the year 2006. And Freeze was taken in the sixth round of the 1990 NFL Draft by the San Diego Chargers, and he passed for 8,633 yards and 45 touchdowns in his eight-year NFL career. May 19, 1975, Cleveland, Ohio. Flundin Fletcher, the standout John Carroll University linebacker from 1995 to 1997, was born. The NFF tells us that Fletcher was a two-time first-team All-American, as London was also the Football Gazette's 1997 Division III Linebacker of the Year. Fletcher recorded 202 tackles during his stellar final season at University Heights, which remains a single-season school record. That year, he also set the single-game record with 29 tackles against Ohio Northern. By the end of his Blue Streak career, Fletcher had tallied 386 tackles, 37 of those were tackles for loss, and 14 sacks and 3 interceptions. His number 3 jersey was retired by JCU in 2017 during a special 20-year celebration of the 1997 football team. London Fletcher was honored with induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2019 after the National Football Foundation tabulated up their votes, becoming the first Blue Streak player to receive that honor. Unbelievably, London went undrafted in 1998, but he worked hard and played hard and spent an impressive 16 seasons in the NFL with the St. Louis Rams, Buffalo Bills, and Washington Redskins. Fletcher made a definite impact at the pro level as he helped the Rams to win Super Bowl 34, and he earned 4 Pro Bowl selections with the Redskins. Fletcher finished his NFL career with 215 consecutive games started, which are tied for the 6th most in league history and the most by any linebacker. And that's some remarkable feats. The most starts consecutively by a linebacker in NFL history was by a guy that never was drafted. He was a free agent coming into the NFL, had to try out for a team. That's unbelievable. London Fletcher, what a great player. As well as, Archie Manning and John Freeze. You know, those are three great Hall of Famers, all college Hall of Famers. But, they each had some pro careers, too, and we remember them playing there. So, we're here every day to talk about these great players that make it into the College Football Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, and any special events that happen in football, like we talked about the 1935 NFL meeting that basically set up the NFL draft for future seasons to come. And that really put some parity into the league, and it wasn't just one or two teams winning it every year, and let the smaller market teams have a say-so too. And that's just some great things, and move players around. So we're glad you joined us once again here, and we hope you'll join us again tomorrow. And if you want to look at tomorrow, we're going to be going into some May 20th football history headlines, and we're also going to be having a football by numbers series that's coming out today, this May 19th. We have number 46 with our guest Oz Davis. You don't want to miss that one. And we have some more football by numbers coming up later this week too, so you would want to keep up on those. And if you've missed any of them, well, go to pigskindispatch.com/podcasts, and you can see all of our podcasts there, and you can even choose the ones, the football by numbers, or just go to our football by numbers blog posts. You'll see all of them there. The podcasts are right there for you to listen to. You can also check us out on sportshistorynetwork.com, and we have our partners over there. There's about 20 of us all together that are putting podcasts out on sports history daily. You can always catch something new in the realm of sports history, and it's always relevant, so it never goes bad. It's not like milk. You can go to something somebody posted 2 years ago, and it was still history. It's still interesting, still fascinating. You can do that binge listening, so make sure you do that. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.